Correspondences by Tim Ingold. Going to ground. Two players seated or standing face to face simultaneously put out a hand in one of three possible shapes. The first with index and middle fingers extended to form a V sign means scissors. The second with a flat palm and outstretched fingers means paper. And the third, a clenched fist, means stone. If both players put out the same shape, the round is drawn, but otherwise the rule is that scissors defeat paper, paper defeats stone, and stone defeats scissors. The beauty of the game lies in the fact that not one of its characters is all-powerful. Scissors can cut paper, but are blunted by stone. Paper can wrap stone, but is cut by scissors. Stone can blunt scissors, but is wrapped by paper. Each can be both doer and what is done to. It can be the one that acts or the one that suffers. Agency and sufferance are wrapped up in the cycle. Could it be the same with the three things that come together to make up the ground? Suppose that we substitute inhabitants for scissors, earth for paper, and atmosphere for stone. What happens? First, inhabitants. As they move around or grow, inscribe marks or paths or weave trails into the fabric of the earth. Second, the earth, wrecked by massive geomorphological forces, erupts and bends, buckles, folds and cracks. And third, the atmosphere with its weather, its winds, storms and rainfall, erodes the surface of the earth, wiping out the tracks and trails of its inhabitants. Or in short, inhabitants trump the earth in the cause of inscription. The earth trumps the atmosphere in episodes of eruption, and the atmosphere trumps the lines of inhabitants in processes of erosion. Thus, in place of cutting, wrapping, and blunting in the game of scissors, paper, and stone, we have a cycle of inscription, eruption, and erosion. Each is different. None is all-powerful, but all partake in the ongoing formation of the ground. Let's consider each in turn. Inscription goes along the line, goes out for a walk. As the artist Paul Klee famously described his practice of drawing, for the sake of the walk, trying drawing a line freehand on a sheet of paper. You will find that the movement of the hand that holds the pencil is already underway. By the time the pencil point alights onto the paper surface and carries on after it has left, what remains on the surface is the trace of a movement. Though the trace continues only for so long as the point is in contact with the paper, the movement itself without beginning or end. Such are the trails of inhabitants, like life and time, they simply keep on going. Eruption is equivalent to what happens if you take the sheet of paper on which you have drawn your line and slide it in at the same time from both sides so that it folds upwards. Were the surface of a more rigid or brittle material, it might form a crease or eventually fracture along the line of a crack. Folds, cracks, and creases are irritations of the surface, caused by stresses and strains intrinsic to the base material itself. Not only do they pay no respect to any lines already inscribed, they are also rendered simultaneously along their entire length. If any evidence were needed of this, we only have to consider the cracks and fault lines caused by major earthquakes. Erosion is quite unlike both inscription and eruption, Returning to your paper with its pencil line, take up an eraser and try to rub it out. This calls for a back and forth oscillatory gesture, best described as a wipe. Compared to inscription, where all the movement is drawn to a focus at the point, with wiping it is disturbed over the surface. The wipe also overflows any delineations it seeks to erase. So likewise, wind and rain, scorning and washing the earth, wipe the tracks and trails of inhabitants. Tracks do not last, writes Tom Brown, an Ampish trained tracker from New Jersey. They fade as they dry. The wind sweeps them relentlessly, level to ease its way across the ground.